Well, it sounds like you guys got exposed to a little bit of shorebird management and conservation on your South Carolina trip. Shorebirds have been, there's been a lot more emphasis on them in the past decade or so with state and federal agencies. And this is mainly due because they've shown, or they've found that over 50% of all the species have shown evidence of decline over the past 30 years. And here in the Mississippi Valley, we have a, they estimate 500,000 birds come through each fall is the main migration pathway. And over there we have the southward migration. You can see Tennessee is not directly within any of those main corridors. However, it's kind of like the waterfowl migration. We get a lot of birds from the Atlantic along the coast and also through the Mississippi Valley. Other efforts in Tennessee include TVA has a monitoring program called the International Shorebird Survey, which is, they're basically doing this throughout the nation. It's kind of a cool program. They have biologists with TWRA, with Fish and Wildlife Service, that are out doing surveys throughout the fall and spring, documenting what species are coming through at what time in hope to manage for those species and conserve prevent further declines. There's 40 species common in North America, and 31 of these are common in Tennessee. Again, your requirement's 17, although you only need to know 15. I'll get to that here in a little bit. The first family we have is, I'm going to butcher these names, but Charadrii. I told you I'd butcher it. Anyway, there's three species within this that you're required to know. This includes such things as piping plover, that's not a required species, and also killdeer, which you're probably all familiar with. These are often heard before seen, is definitely the case with the killdeer. In general, they're kind of small, plump-bodied. They have real short, thick bills, and these forage visually, and when I say that, you'll watch these birds, they'll stand in place, look for a food item, and then attack that food item. And this is real characteristic of the plovers compared to the sandpipers and other species we'll cover later. First species you'll have is the black-bellied plover. In general, these are mainly a coastal bird, but they're also along lake shores and in agricultural fields. And in general, plovers are more on the dry sites of along a mudflat gradient. They're usually in the drier areas. I'm not real sure why, but that's the main trend. Here we have breeding and winter plumage. And I know last year a lot of people were asking, do we have to know both plumages? In general, I'll be making the test that you guys will have next Wednesday. I'm not gonna put anything that's real tough on there. So as far as knowing both, I would know in general what they look like, but you don't have to know like this is winter plumage of this species and so and so. These birds have black legs and a white rump, and that's a main distinguishing characteristic between that and the American golden plover. However, you don't have to know that. So the main thing on this, they're gonna have this black mask. Overall, in general, black and white bird and more gray in the winter. They also have a white wing stripe that's visible in flight. And they're kind of a medium-sized shorebird, approximately the size of a killdeer in reference. Next, we have the semi-palmated plover. And this species, as you can see, looks a lot like a killdeer. The main difference here, these birds are much smaller. They're maybe half the size. And they also have one breast band instead of two. So that's a real distinguishing characteristic. Orange legs as well, and their underparts are white. These are very common in here, even in East Tennessee. They're kind of an early migrant. We'll get them in August and September. Again, the size difference is probably the main one with the breast band. Here we have killdeer, distinctive two breast bands. They also have that reddish eye ring, and you guys, I'm sure, have all heard their calls. These are probably the most common shorebird in North America by far. Also, there's a white wing stripe visible in flight, and they also have this kind of rust color on their rump. And these are found throughout Tennessee, basically everywhere. They're here as soon as habitat becomes available in August or September, all the way through. They'll actually winter here, unlike some of these other species like the semi-palmated plover, which kind of just, they just stop through for maybe a few weeks and then proceed further south. In general, I'll be kind of comparing, are you all familiar with killdeer for the most part? I'll be kind of comparing them size-wise with these other species, so that's a good reference. The next group we have are the stilts and avocets in the family Recurvirostridae. And there's just two species here, the black-necked stilt and the American avocet. These birds in general are much larger. These are definitely the largest that we'll be covering. And the general trend is that they're more of a western bird. They're often found more so in mountain states. However, we do get quite a few coming through along in West Tennessee. We've had a few avocets here in East Tennessee. I've never seen black-necked stilts. I do know that black-necked stilts also commonly breed down near the Memphis area, which is kind of interesting. And these birds are normally found out in the water. They're not walking up on the flats unless they're attempting to breed or nesting purposes, but you'll see them out in the water, and they'll be, especially the avocet, will just kind of be gliding through the water with his bill, just picking off aquatic invertebrates swimming in the water column. And in general, they're both of them are going to have these long, very slender bills and really tall, spindly legs. The black-necked stilt, for example, I didn't put this in, but as far as height, I mean, these birds are like this tall, and they're basically 80% legs. They're just, they look pretty funny out there. And here's the black-necked stilt. I guess I have length of the body is 13 inches, but in flight, their legs are going to extend well past the tail, and you notice they have these long pink legs. That's the only species with these long pink legs. They also have the black cap with the white eye spot right above the eye, and also a long and very thin black bill that is straight. And that will be used when comparing it to the American avocet, which on that top right picture up there, you notice that distinct curve, and that's typical of this species. The breeding plumage, they're going to have kind of a reddish tone to their head and chest. And then during winter, and a lot of the juveniles will be looking like this down here on the bottom left. Also a pretty large bird. They're similar in size to the black-necked stilt. And on their back, it's going to be in general white, and it's going to have two longitudinal black stripes, which is kind of tough to see, but they're talking about these right here and there. And also a white rump and tail. And the legs on these guys are going to be blue or gray compared to the pink that we saw on the black-necked stilt. All right, the next group is family Scolopacidae. This includes the sandpipers and phalaropes. There's 15 species within this. However, like we said earlier, there's only going to be 13. And I didn't delete this on the slide, but you guys won't have to know any of the phalaropes. They're not on the list either, but you're gonna find these up on the mudflats or out in the water. But mainly, in general, they're quite a bit smaller, excluding the greater yellow legs. And these are adaptive for high speed flight, just their wing loading capacity. And it's a very diverse group. There's all sorts of body forms that are specialized for different foraging patterns, and we'll kind of hit on those here in a bit. The first species you'll have is greater yellow legs, and again, for your guys' test, you'll just have to know if it's yellow legs. So just say yellow leg species, or you could go with the genus name Tringa species for the greater and lesser yellow legs, and that's a fairly common categorization. By like people that go out and do these surveys. A lot of times these birds be out at a distance and it's tough to tell. And so they just lump them all together, and it's pretty common. So I think we'll do it for this just to cut down. These birds are going to have that black and white flecking on back, and this is going to be characteristic seen in both the lesser and greater yellow legs. Both of them are also going to have the bright yellow legs, which is real distinct. I didn't put a picture of them flying, but their legs also extend way out past the tail. And you can definitely tell in flight. You can see the yellow legs even in flight. The main difference I'll just hit on briefly between the greater and lesser yellow legs is going to be the ratio between the length of the head and the length of the bill. And you can see there in the bottom right, this is going to be, the bill length is going to be 1.5 times the length of the head. Whereas I'll show you on the next slide the difference. We'll have a 1-to-1 ratio on the lesser yellow legs, but in general, similar looking. I know that's not a great picture compared to those others. But these birds, they're going to be actually half the size. So if you see these side by side, yeah, you can tell. However, if you're out surveying at a reservoir, see one, okay, that's yellow legs. You have nothing else to compare it to. You know, who knows? So that's why a lot of people lump it. Another thing, as far as kind of the killdeer comparison, they're so common, it can be a good thing because you can delineate the different sizes of the shorebirds based on killdeer size. So a lesser yellow legs is going to be more similar to a killdeer size, where a greater yellow legs is going to be a pretty large bird. And some of the books say that the bill's not upturned, but that's a pretty tough call. Next is the solitary sandpiper. This is more of a, I meant to mention this, the greater and lesser yellow legs, they probably peak migration through Tennessee is going to be in August, September, like most birds, but you'll also have these birds coming through later on in the year compared to a lot of these. Like the solitary, it's in general more of a August, September migrant. These are usually found by themselves, hence their name. They often bob their tail, just sitting there, just rock back and forth. The main characteristic on these guys is that distinct white eye ring. And I guess the main one that I would get this confused with is one of the yellow legs. And you can, here on the yellow legs, you can also see somewhat of a white eye ring. But this is pretty distinct. It's in general a darker bird, way more distinct white around the eye, and also the legs are not going to be near as long compared to the body size. They're kind of a short, stubby, plump bird, and they're going to be olive colored compared to the yellow of both yellow leg species. Next, we have the spotted sandpiper. And we get these coming through in August. You'll see them in their breeding plumage with spots on their chest. And we'll also get a few coming through later on, probably juveniles that aren't going to have that flecking on their chest, more drab in color. But just the general shape of these birds, to me, allows me to pick them off or to pick them out from a group. Yellow and orange legs, again, they're more of a stubby bird compared to yellow legs. They also have kind of an orangish tone to their bill. And these birds, they fly, and people compare them, I think it was to, the bats flutter real fast? Or am I way off? People have compared them to bats, and I've seen like two bats in my life, so I have no idea. But they kind of have that fluttery flight. And they also bob their tail during feeding. And these guys bob all the time. They'll be out there on a mud flat walking around, and they're constantly up and down, just tipping back and forth, which is another good characteristic. In general, these are probably slightly smaller than a killdeer, probably 3/4 the size. Next, we have the semi-palmated sandpiper. And this species and the one following this are going to be the smallest that you guys will have. These birds are basically like this big. They're teeny. And comparatively, you're going to be looking, these are the two you're going to get confused. Semi-palmated right here and the least sandpiper. See how much the brown overall color of this guy compared to that? Just grayish in color. And you can, lot of times you'll be looking through a scope out there and you're looking at them up close and you can't really tell. And then you take your eye off the scope and you can look out there and just say, that's a gray bird, that's gray, that's gray. That one's more brown. And then you get back on them and you can tell that way as well. But these guys are gonna have black legs, and that's another characteristic to use. And the main thing with all these shorebirds is you can't just go by one characteristic. You have to kind of go down a list. Okay, they have black legs, could be a semi-palmated sandpiper instead. It would be a semi-palmated instead of a least or a pectoral. And then other things, grayish overall color with these guys, a short, kind of stubby black bill on these guys as well. These are an early migrant. They, in general, most of these smaller species like this are, they say in the literature, stop on an average of like 10 days during migration through the interior U.S. So that kind of highlights the importance of having habitat available at the right time. They're looking for habitat for a short time span, and they got to have it right then to complete their migration. That's about it for that one. Least sandpiper, again, similar in size. These are the smallest shorebird in North America. Brown overall color. Comparatively, if they're right next to a semi-palmated, it's tough to tell size-wise. But these are going to have yellow legs. And so if you see a little bird running around on a mud flat that's about that big with yellow legs in Tennessee, it's going to be a least sandpiper. They're really common. In early migration, they also will winter here as well. They're going to have a black bill similar to the semi-palmate, but see that kind of narrow just curve compared to, on the last slide, just kind of a stubby peg-like bill on semi-palmated. And the main thing, again, is that brownish overall color. The pectoral, the one you'd get this confused with would be the least sandpiper. They're both kind of have that brown bronze color. Both have yellow legs. This bird, however, is going to be almost the size of a killdeer. And you'll see these in flocks together with least sandpipers. They're pretty easy to pick out. These guys have an orange bill, and there's a distinct division between the breast and the white belly, which can be, this isn't a real great picture, but this is usually a very distinct cutoff between the light and dark. And these birds are very common early migrants. There's actually some coming through right now back on their spring migration. But again, looking back, this kind of flecking just kind of continues down. Whereas this, I mean, it's just a cutoff there. Next, we have the Dunlin. We do get some in breeding plumage coming through in August. I only had a few out here in East Tennessee. I think Drew had more out in West Tennessee. But we do have, which the TVA's surveys have shown, quite a few winter plumage birds coming through later on in the year in November, December. So this, in general, you're going to see Dunlins looking like this in the Tennessee Valley. In general, kind of just a dull grayish bird with a little bit of brown, I would say. They're probably, again, like 3/4 the size of a killdeer in comparison. They're going to have that kind of a longer bill relative to their body size. It's going to have that droop at the tip, which is pretty distinctive compared to these other species. In the breeding plumage, one distinct thing, they have this big black dot, but big black spot on their underside. It's really distinctive. You can pick it out with the naked eye in most cases. And these guys are also going to have black legs like our semi-palmated sandpipers, but these are quite a bit larger. All right, the next species you can lump together, as Dr. Gray said, are going to be the Dowitchers. So for your test, just know Dowitcher species or Limnodromus species. These are similar in size to a killdeer again. In winter plumage, they're really drab color. They got a real long bill compared to the the ones we've seen previously. It's long and straight. And in breeding plumage, they're going to have this reddish tone. And I'll kind of highlight on the differences between the long-billed and short-billed. In a long-billed Dowitcher, they call it barring on these feathers of the upper chest, and they're also going to have a red belly. Whereas the short-billed Dowitcher is going to have one or the other. It's going to have that barred upper chest, which I don't see in this picture, but it does have that red belly. These are pretty tough to tell, and I haven't seen enough of them to really get good at it. But one of the ID books had a diagram like this showing the barring. I'm not sure if when they just have a red belly, if they have spots. I'm not real sure on that. But for the most part, medium-sized shorebird, many times they're both on mudflats or out in the water column. And the main distinguishing characteristic that most people go by, which I don't totally agree with in doing, is they go by call. And these birds, when they're out foraging on a flat, they're not going to sit out there and call. So basically, people go out and flush these birds and cause disturbance to get them to flush to find out what they are. I don't totally agree with that. Anyway, the long bill is going to have this sharp keek, and the short build is going to have like kind of a mellow, just toot, 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 just a real short. That's what people go by. So I guess take that as it is. Next is the Wilson Snipe. And this is, on. You guys have all your, y'all have your lists with you. One thing I needed to switch and I didn't catch it before is change the name from Common Snipe to Wilson Snipe. Both are kind of accepted, but the Wilson's is what everybody goes by. And also notice that there's a change in the species name as well. Just to everybody make that change, because that's what will be required on the test, not common. These birds have kind of a stocky appearance, and compared to these other birds, they really have short legs compared to the rest of their body. A lot of times they'll be standing tall, or else you'll see them out on a flat just with their head just buried in the mud, just probing. And they'll actually, sometimes it looks like they're like headbutting the ground because they're, you know, their bill is completely under the surface. Another characteristic, they kind of have this overall brownish appearance, and on their back, they have these kind of white jagged stripes. They're really great camouflage, and when a predator flies over, these birds just stop and hunker down, and they're really tough to pick out. But when they're up and active, their feeding motion makes them pretty easy to pick out from other species. Again, they're going to have that long bill, similar to the species of Dowitchers, and they're found in marshy habitats, as are all these. But the common one thing with the snipe, you'll find them up near vegetation a lot more than a lot of these other species prefer the wide open mud flats where they can see predators from a distance. These guys don't seem to mind being up in the cover, and a lot of times when a predator comes over, they'll hunker down like next to a log or something where their camouflage really kicks in. And these birds also, another point is they have kind of pointed wings, and they have a rapid zigzag flight, and they just kind of dart back and forth, and you flush a group of snipe and they just seem to fly around forever, but they're just back and forth, real fluttery flight too. Next we have the American Woodcock, and in general they're more often found in woodlands and shrubby fields, as you guys probably know. Kind of an overall grayish color. And compared to the snipe, on top of their head, they're going to have a black nape with crossed, it has a pair of pale lines on top of their head. They also have definitely similar in size, but they're just overall grayish color, I guess, is what I would go with. And again, they're stocky and short-legged, similar to the snipe. And that's all you guys have to cover. I hope I didn't overwhelm you more than you already are. These are some other resources that I put up there. I also have some pretty good shorebird books if anybody wants to borrow those. This will all be posted on the website. There's a pretty good photo quiz on that site. The only problem with it, it'll have a lot of species that you're not required and that we haven't covered. But in general, it's pretty decent. Might be a good resource for you. I think what we'll do is, you guys want to take out a sheet of paper like you did for the frogs? Did that help or not? What's that? Yeah, that's fine if that's how you want to do it.
Just point out the things we would look at.
Yeah. Okay. Who knows what that one is? You're right. Why is it a pectoral and not a Dunlin? Yep, it's got that break right there. And what color of bill did a Dunlin have? You remember? A Dunlin had a black. And this guy's going to have kind of that orangish tone. Everybody good on that one?
So Dunlin's got a black bill and then has a...
Yeah. And more grayish in color overall than this one. And won't have that distinct. And the other thing, what color is Dunlin's legs?
Black.
And this guy's yellow. So if you see yellow legs out there, there's basically, of your list, I think there's about three species it could be. It could be either yellow legs, Lee sandpiper, or pectoral. So that's usually one of the first things I go off of outside of body size. Is, okay, yellow legs, basically, is it smaller than a killdeer, larger? Just have to kind of go down the list. All right, what do we have there? It can be pretty tough. You know, how can you measure that looking through a scope at 150 yards? But you guys are right. Yellow legs, and just look at the proportion of legs to body there compared to the other birds with yellow legs, and you'll be able to pick those out easy. Next. What's that? Black-bellied plover. And again, of these guys, you can pick out plovers from the sandpipers real easy. Just the thickness of that bill, they're just stubby. Think of like the shape of a killdeer and the proportion of bill width here is similar. So that's, you only have three species of plovers. That's definitely the most colorful one of the three, too. Woodcock. Have you all seen those out here? Really? Are they? I found one on a nest one time in Minnesota, and that's the only one I've ever seen, like during daylight hours. I've seen the flights at night and stuff, but they're a cool bird. All right, what's number six? Which one? What's number six? Black neck stilt.
Number seven would be
Avocet. Yep. You're right. And look at that. That curvature in the bill is a dead giveaway on those guys. Next. No. This is actually a spotted sandpiper. And in the description, it'll have orange to yellowish legs, which, I mean, that's pretty vague. This is a winter plumage bird, kind of grayish overall. The solitary wasn't a bad call. The main difference, let me think, go to that solitary slide. The main thing with that solitary, see the flecking. It's going to have flecking similar to the yellow legs, but not the bright yellow legs. So he's going to have, this is, and what really helps is having other birds out there to have that size comparison. But if a killdeer was standing next to him, he'd be nearly, probably 75% the size, which would help out. All right. Why?
One breast band, don't have to lay it.
Or one neck band.
One neck band. And look how small that bird looks.
Yeah.
Comparatively. And the other thing, you can somewhat see an eye ring there, but it's not near as distinct as on a killdeer. A killdeer will have that red, dark red around the eye. Least sandpiper. It's a least. Now, what's the difference between a least and a semi-palmated? Both of them are small. Both are like this big. So size is not going to do you too much. And yes, not semi-palmated. Semi-palmated have black legs and a grayish appearance. These guys are going to be similar in size with kind of that brown and bronze through their wings and yellow legs. And the difference, see, the one thing I was talking about with the pectoral, you remember kind of that, remember that distinct cutoff? And here you can kind of see that distinct cutoff, but what color is the bill?
Black.
It's black. Pectoral would be orange or yellowish. And this guy's really got just a teeny curved bill. Everybody good on that one? Good as you can be?
So that one's got the black bill.
Yep.
The yellow legs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's quite a bit larger, and in most pictures, this one doesn't explain that real well, but the pectoral will have more of a distinct cutoff between light and dark on the breast, although this one has a pretty good one too. All right. Dunlin. Why is it a Dunlin? You guys have been calling that one out on every one. Yep. Pretty long bill with that droop down there at the tip. And this is a winter bird, winter plumage, kind of grayish overall color. And what color legs? Black.
Do they have, is that a white spot on the feet?
No, that's probably just shining at the glare. How about that guy?
That's the solitary.
Solitary. It's got the flecking on the back, distinct white eye ring in a kind of a darker head with that distinct white. And also, they say olive, I think it was yellow or olive colored legs. And that's a tough one to go off of. Even least sandpipers feeding out in a real soupy mud flat, a lot of times you'll be on them with the scope and you know, they're standing knee deep in mud. Their legs are all covered with mud and it looks black. But you kind of got to wait till they turn in the sun to catch a glimpse of yellow on them. It can be pretty challenging. Nobody better miss that one. That guy. Okay, what color legs?
Black.
Black. What overall coloration? How? What color is he?
Gray.
Gray color. It looks pretty small. Semi-palmated sandpiper. This isn't a real great picture showing characteristics, but and you can't really tell as far as curvature of the bill. Which one would you have confused that with? What did you guys think? First off, Dunlin, probably, just because the grayish color. And that's not a bad call. This, you know, like pictures like this aren't going to be on your test. So, you know. I just thought it'd be a little challenging, but. All right. Yep. It's got the olive colored legs, real distinct patterning throughout its body. It's got that red belly. And this is a lot of times how you'll see them. You know, you'll be out surveying, they'll have their head down feeding the entire time. And so you don't even get to check out that bill or whatever, but you pick up on these other characteristics that tell you, give you signals that this is a dowitcher.
Is that one bill?
I couldn't tell you. Yeah. I'm not sure. It's so, you know, vague. All right, how about that guy? What color legs?
Black.
Black. Color bill? Is it long and curved or is it short and stubby? What's the overall color of the bird? Does he look very big? No? What's that making? Mm-hmm. Yep. That, the last one was semi-palmated again. What's that?
No, it's a Dunlin.
Dunlin. It's got that long bill with that droop at the end, for one, and that would be the distinguishing characteristic from the plover. The plover would have that short, stubby bill. And this is a breeding plumage Dunlin, and it's going to have that big black spot on its underside.
What do we have to know as far as like scientific
name? As far as scientific name?
Yeah.
You just have to know common name or scientific, whatever's.
How would you determine that from the black belly plover?
Mainly overall coloration. The black bellied would have, remember how much black they had up on their head? For one, they got kind of the black underneath with the lighter color on top. Also, bill size. Dunlin's going to have that long, droopy bill. And all the plover species have that short, stubby bill that they just kind of walk around and, you know, find their food. These guys are more probers in the mud. And in general, I guess the black belly bee a little bit larger than these as well. Yep. So that one's pretty easy to pick out, right?
Yeah.
And this is one undergoing molt during the fall. And that a lot of the birds you'll see here coming through in September, October, they'll really be between their plumages, which can make it really tough picking them out, but you can still find the same characteristics on those birds, and mainly morphological, that short stubby bill, again, black legs, overall, you know, he's standing up tall like a killdeer. He's a plover for sure. That's probably a lesser, I would say. Bill length is about the same size as the head. And again, the proportion, they just, it's like they're standing on stilts out there. And they got that flecking as well. Those guys. Which one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And again, like the amphibians, make sure you know that whole common name. So American Avocet on this guy. Yeah. Those are in, yeah, they're very large. That's during breeding season. This is a pretty good picture. I talked about the two white stripes or two black stripes. I can't remember what it was. But look on that bird. That's pretty distinct in flight. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody get that one? All right. Most part. What's that? Mm-hmm. It's a dowitcher. And why is it not a snipe? That's a good one. Its legs are pretty long compared to its body. Not like a yellow legs, but a snipe in proportion is gonna have real stubby legs. Also, one thing on the back, it's the snipe are gonna have those stripes, kind of a light colored tan stripe. I think so. I'm not sure on that. Another thing with these dowitchers, they kind of have like an olive color on their bill as well. And snipe, it's completely black. That's another thing. And you notice right here, see how that bill's split at the end? It's kind of an interesting thing with the dowitchers and snipe. And I'm not sure if woodcock are the same. You can actually, on a specimen, you can bend that bill. They've had some studies show that they can actually sense food items through some mechanism, but they spread that tip of their bill and pull food items up. So they probe down, expand it, and pull them up, which is kind of interesting. But anyway. Mm-mm. What color in general do they look?
Brownish.
This guy, brownish, right?
Yeah.
Look like a teeny bird, don't they, out there?
Yes.
So of your species you have, least and semis would be what they would be between. Yellow legs, you can pick that out at 200 yards. Yellow legs, it's either a peck or a least. And you can kind of tell on these guys as well. You can kind of see that curvature and see how narrow that bill is compared to that semi-palmated as well. Most of the time, compared to a lot of these other species, these will be in pretty large groups, especially later on, like this here. What are those guys? Everybody get that one right?
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Little short peggy bill makes him a plover. One breastband, semi-palmated plover. Really a dinky little bird, very small. It actually has, I'm trying to think. I think it has something to do with their foot position, but I'm not real sure on that. Last one. Yep.
Yeah.
This is a breeding plumage spotted sandpiper. Spots on the chest, they say kind of that orange or yellowish tone to the legs and the orange bill.
Did the other picture you showed of the spotted sandpiper have those brown spots on it?
No, it didn't. But I'll be making, again, you know, that one was, let's see. This is also a spotted. See, in general, just the appearance of it. Can you guys, the one thing I see with these guys, and I don't know if it's a good characteristic to go by or not, but this right here, see where that wing comes up in the front end? There's always that white curving up in there. And that's, I can see that on a spotted, for some reason, that helps me pick them out. The pectoral is not going to have that. Pectoral is going to have brown that extends down further, and they're going to have flecking coming down, kind of streaking in that brown area. These guys just kind of drab. And I think that's it for me. Anybody have any questions? Did that help out? Is it overwhelming or? Say again.
So definitely
no
both breeding and winter
plumage. In general, you don't have to, I mean, you're not going to have to say this is breeding plumage or not. I'd say just anything on this, you should be able to know what species. Anything shown on here. See, a lot of these other species that I did show, like lee sandpipers, they're going to have a breeding and a wintering plumage that's, you know, pretty distinctive between the species, but I just didn't put those on. So there's only a few species, like the real distinct differences, like for instance the Dunlin, you know, the breeding plumage, they have that big black belly, and the ones coming through later on in the winter are going to just be gray in color. Like those big differences, probably know those, I'd say. But I'm not out to get you, so. Anybody else? So everybody's going to get 100? No? Well, again, the main thing with these, you can't just go by one characteristic. It's important to have kind of an overall view. You pick up leg color, okay, next to the bill color, next to this. I don't know. I doubt it. I'm not sure. I would say no. Because I don't think, I'm trying to remember last year. You guys got it easy. Last year they had like 5 or 6 more species and they had to know the long and short billed dowitcher and the yellow legs from each other. But as far as, I don't think there'll be any repeats. So, anything else? If I can help out in any way, if you guys are having trouble, I'm up in, I think it's like, what is it, 201?
201.
I don't even know where I'm at. But 201 in Ellington, if I can help out in any way, I got some shorebird books. If that would help out, just let me know. So, I think you guys can have another break and...